1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is the focus of the gospel. That is the power of God. Remember he said the cross is to them the perish foolishness, the preaching of the cross. And, you know, this is said not in an absolutist form, like as if he walked around and he said nothing. Nothing came out of his mouth except Jesus Christ and him crucified. But everything that he said was pertaining to that work. And again, don't take it as an absolutist thing. I mean, when I teach, I'm determined also. I've made a determination. I'm determined. I've made a decision as I teach to stick to the essential things and not to get off on other things, to the essentials of the gospel, the work of Christ on the cross and what that does for you. Not merely like Jesus was crucified, believe it. That's not what it means. What it means is Christ crucified, the power of God unto salvation, Jesus Christ, you know, like, look at, he died for your sins. And also what? Remember what I quoted from Galatians chapter 1? I want the exact wording. So Galatians 1 verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. The sacrifice of Christ had a purpose. And that was what Paul came talking about. Unfortunately today that is lost. Today what it is, well, we already believe, so what do we hear now? What do we want to hear now? And then you go to church and you hear all kinds of strange things. Well, if we just keep preaching the cross, it's going to get boring, so they say. Or they must say, because they're not preaching the cross anymore. Well, you know, once you know, preaching to the choir is kind of, well, it's not a, you know, you preach it and also you teach it. These things must be taught and rehearsed in our ears, because until we've all come to the fullness of the measure of Christ, we still need to hear the promises. And as a man who is an instructor of the Word, to me, as I go through, you know, some of my teaching is kind of sloppy in a way, because I'll look at things, oh, look at myself. Use the scripture as a mirror to look at myself. Well, what about me? And in a sense, I'm not that I want to make this about me, except for me, it's about me. It's for me about my profiting in the Word. And I want to show you how to profit in the Word by an example. Self-examination. What are my weaknesses? What are the things in which God despises about me? You know, what are the things that the world loves about me, but God despises? What are the things about me that the world despises, but God loves? And all this is pertaining to the work of Christ, that I might be saved. And not only to, you know, at my death, but that all my life might be a testimony to the salvation which is dwelling in me. He declared to them the testimony of God, which is everything pertaining to this gospel, which is everything pertaining to the power of the cross to bring righteousness, deliver from sin, justify, make holy, purify, etc., etc., and everything along those lines. That's what Paul came talking about. That was his focus. He didn't say, let me explain to you how these Jewish festivals are in Jesus and blah, 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 and all sorts of things that just the Gentiles, how's that going to give them any power over sin? To know the shadows of things that once were, you know, these things are a shadow of things to come. Why trip over shadows when you have the real thing in front of you? Hmm? I feel very strongly about that concept, about what we ought to speak. And sometimes I have trouble putting it into specific words like a reg. But, you know, I've got, and by that I meant regulation, but I have the Spirit of God. And when I hear things that are contrary to this doctrine, I just know it. Again, he didn't come in with all kinds of excellent wisdom and knowledge of things. I mean, there's a knowledge that profits, and there's knowledge that doesn't profit. There's wisdom that profits, and there's wisdom that does not profit. Remember, he said, the Greeks seek after wisdom. It's worldly wisdom, man's wisdom. The wisdom of God is Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, the knowledge of God is Jesus Christ and him crucified. The excellency of speech of God is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is excellent speech in God's sight. But in the world's sight, obviously in the sight of man who does not know God, when you come in saying that, it's sort of like, it's not very excellent. But, you know, what's, you know, it's the foolishness of preaching, as he called it. Man, you know, which is just boldly declaring these truths that people have faith in, that they could have the power of salvation working in them. That's how God has determined the salvation would go forth. But man wants it to be, well, you know, you were going to systematically, you know, systematized religion, a denominationalized, you know, the four laws of the Spirit, and, you know, you got to have all kinds of worldly wisdom and knowledge. Verse 3. Because the core of the gospel is something very simple. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Remember, you know, again, think of all the things Paul teaches in all his epistles, okay? Is it just the cross? No, it's Jesus and the cross. Remember, I'm thinking of what in the epistles of John, like verse 9 is the second epistle of John, which we recently covered. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. When he says Jesus Christ and him crucified, it isn't just the words, you know, just this thought of a crucified guy. But it is that man and the doctrine concerning that man, all the doctrine, not just a part of the doctrine, not the doctrine plus something else, but it is the doctrine which the Word of God declares.